Well, amen. Thank you, Matt and worship team. You know, I was thinking this morning of how grateful I am on this Mother's Day, as I am every Mother's Day, and just grateful every day for not only my wife, mother of my children, our children, but all the mothers here that represent so many godly women that have raised their children. I look up front and all these kids, I know each of their moms, great moms, godly moms. And it reminded me of Psalm 116, where David writes this: "Truly, I'm your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did." Mothers, you're so important. And I'm thankful for the godly examples we have in here. Honey, I'm thankful for the godly example you are to our children. And just like David, we should celebrate our moms and what they've done, pointing us to Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's give those moms another round of applause. We continue our series now in John chapter 1, in the 40 days that Jesus was on this earth and after his resurrection. And just some opportunities to walk through those opportunities that Jesus had with his disciples. This morning, we find ourselves in John 21 and some beach therapy. Anybody need some beach therapy? Yes. Well, Jesus biblically wants us to have some beach therapy. So that's a good thing. John chapter 21, make your way there if you have a Bible. And if you don't, read up on the screen and follow along with me. So it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Everyone loves a comeback, don't we? I know Joe Carroll and Sheldon Spears and Nate Flynn would like a comeback after they just played me in golf and I beat him. You knew that was coming. Some of the greatest comeback stories from the greatest quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning. Can I get an amen? Taking the Broncos to a Super Bowl when my Colts decided to let him go. One of my favorite movies, The Cinderella Man of James J. Braddock. Basically coming out of retirement and winning the heavyweight championship. A movie you should watch. How about Rocky? You name it, we love a comeback, don't we? Well, Peter needed a comeback, spiritually speaking. I'm guessing, follower of Jesus Christ, there are times when all of us need a comeback. And Jesus shows us just how. To understand this post-resurrection conversation, we have to be reminded of hours before Jesus died on the cross. All the disciples were with him. All of them said, "I will die for you, Jesus." We see it in Luke chapter 22. It says, Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you even know me." And Peter would deny. It started with a young girl. In John 18, we read, the servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I'm not." Three times Peter would deny the Lord and Savior that he had spent 3 years with, making confessions like Matthew 16, verse 16, where Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This Peter was heartbroken. This Peter was discouraged. He was depressed, no doubt. He had declared several times his faith and yet denied him when the time came. He was a true believer, but he failed. When the time came, he failed. The resurrected Jesus wanted to restore one of his sheep. Jesus is going to give Peter a comeback that he needs. And I got to tell you, I want to just say this up front. If you've let your Lord down, you said you wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. You so desire for God to get a hold of you, but sin rears its ugly head back in and you're struggling. The resurrected Jesus wants to restore you. He wants to give you a comeback. So let's consider this passage together, those of us who at times in our walk need a comeback story. To restore the stumbling follower that we often are. Well, here are the makings of a comeback. We find it in this passage right here. The first thing I want you to notice, if you want the markings or the makings of a comeback. Number one, we need to not compare ourselves with anyone. Compare yourself to no one. Look at verse 15 with me. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" More than these. More than the disciples themselves? No, that's not what he's saying. Not his friends in ministry. He's not saying, "Do you love me more than your friends in ministry?" No, more than the boats or the fish? Your job? No, not that. The understanding that Jesus is making here is this. Do you love me more than the disciples love me? See, here's the problem. Peter, just before the death on the cross, Peter had boasted that his love for Christ was more than the love that the disciples had for Christ. He was comparing himself to the other disciples. Look with me at John chapter 13, verse 37. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And then continuing on in Matthew 26. Is it up there? Matthew 26? No? Well, he says in Matthew 26, there it is. Peter answered him, "Though all will fail or fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Do you see the comparisons? So the idea of Jesus saying, "Do you love me more than these?" He was bringing Peter back to when he compared his love for Jesus with the other disciples' love for Jesus. These boastful statements of Peter, that he believed that he loved the Lord more than the other disciples. I can see James and John falling away, but not me. Thomas, oh yeah, for sure he's going to fall. But not me. I'm spiritually stronger. I'm more devoted. I serve in all of these ministries. All comparing. It's easy to fall into the comparison game, isn't it? Look what I'm doing compared to you. Jesus says, stop the comparing. Worry about you. Paul understood this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said this. He said, "Not that we dare to compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are unwise." Jesus is telling Peter, his job is not to supervise other shepherds, but to simply feed his sheep. We need to keep our eyes and our heart on what we are supposed to do, not worrying about what others are supposed to do. You want the makings of a spiritual comeback? Stop comparing yourselves with other people. What else? Number two. We need to consider our weakness. We have weaknesses, don't we? If we fall and we need a spiritual comeback, we need to remember that we need Jesus' strength, not our own. Consider our weaknesses. Look at the verses again. Verses 15 through 17. "And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And then again, he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And then he said a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Three times. Listen, Jesus isn't doing this to inflict pain in Peter. The awful feeling that he had. What he was trying to do was relieve Peter of the pain he was feeling. This Jesus that Peter had said is his Lord and his Savior, and then to outright sin, that feeling of shame and guilt that comes upon any believer of Christ who struggles with sin, knowing their Savior died for him. Can you imagine how Peter was feeling? Defeated? Embarrassed? Peter was weak. And Jesus has given Peter a chance in front of everyone to say, I love you, Jesus. 3 times Peter says, I love you. I love public testimonies, don't you? Yes, Peter was weak. But that is when Jesus can do his best work. If we let him. To rely on his strength. Paul saw this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says 3 times again. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. This trial, this weakness, this pain, this suffering. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You want the makings of a comeback? Acknowledge your weakness and your need for Christ. Publicly declare your love for Christ and what he's done for you. He died for all of your sins. You want a comeback in your walk with Jesus? Recognize your weakness of sin and declare your love for Jesus again, the one who died for those sins. Do you love him? Apart from his work, you will not show it. The third thing. The makings of a comeback. Compare yourselves to no one. Consider our weaknesses. And then third, continue on mission. 3 times after Peter says he loves Jesus, Jesus said a phrase. Look with me again in 15 through 17. After he asked him to, Lord, do you love me? Number one, more than these. He said, feed my lambs. Then after again, he said, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Tend my sheep. And then lastly, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter had messed up. He sinned. He denied his Lord. And after that, with that kind of fall, it's hard to get back up, isn't it? You might even consider that you're done. You've fallen so far. You need a comeback. Jesus wants Peter to get back into mission. What mission? The mission we all have, which is pointing people to Jesus. He starts with the feed my lambs. The idea here is, listen, teach the children about sin and salvation and in Christ. Don't wait for them to grow up. Teach the kids the word of God. Their need to be forgiven of their sin, as all of us, no matter what the age is. The idea is, Peter, get back into your mission, which is pointing people to Christ from all ages all the way up to us older people. He goes on, he says, then tend my sheep. Some of your translations say, shepherd my sheep. The word means watch over them. Get back into your mission, Peter. Specifically here, he's talking about the mission of a pastor. Pastor Peter, you need to watch over the people that I bring to you. And by the way, this is true for any believer. Who is God bringing into your life? Who's your circle of influence? At work? At home? In your neighborhood? What is your mission? And this is a reminder to all of us. The markings of a comeback is we have to get back into the game. Yes, you've fallen. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've struggled. And Jesus is aiming to give you a comeback so that you can point people to him. Feed my sheep. The idea here is that my grown-up ones. The idea of the feeding itself, the instrument of our feeding is always God's word. And so the idea is that Peter, keep pointing them to my words. Not your boasts, not your goodness, not anything you have to offer. Keep pointing them to me. That's your mission. This isn't about your failures, Peter. This is about how God is great even in the midst of your failures. That's a comeback story. If and when we get opportunities with anybody in our life, bring them to God's word so that you might feed them the truth. You want the makings of a comeback. The fourth thing is, number one, don't compare yourselves with anyone. Don't consider your weaknesses. Number three, continue on mission. And then finally, if you want the makings of a comeback, you got to start counting the cost again. What is the cost of following Jesus? Well, look at verses 18 and 19 with me. Jesus says to Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying, he said to him, follow me. So the last making or the markings of a spiritual comeback will include you and I counting the cost of following Jesus. If you are going to follow, if I am going to follow Jesus, it is going to cost us something. For Peter, it's going to cost him his life. Is Jesus worth the sacrifice? In all of our love for Jesus that we say we have, our mission to point Jesus or point people to Jesus, if this is going to happen in our lives, it will lead to sacrifice. You're going to lose something. Friends, maybe. You're a Jesus follower now. What, you think you're better than me? You're going to start doing what? You start speaking up for Jesus and it's going to cost you something. No more denying, but professing. Is it going to cost you your status? Is it going to cost you your control of your life? Jesus says, I have to do what? There will be sacrifice when you follow Jesus. Are you counting the costs? Listen, we can want a spiritual comeback. Everyone loves a comeback, but no one wants to pay the cost. Jesus said, if you want a comeback, Peter, yes, you are going to cost. It's going to cost you something. For Peter, it was going to cost him his life. church historians say that Peter, when he was in Rome, at the very end of his ministry, at the end of his life, he was imprisoned. And he had his hands bound, and he was led out to an execution where he was crucified. Church historians say that on his own request, he was asked to be crucified upside down because he did not feel it worthy to share the same manner of death as his Lord. If you and I are going to have any sort of a spiritual comeback, it will involve a sacrifice. Maybe for some of us, it's just saying no to sin. You know you shouldn't do. Jesus, take it. I'm done. I sacrifice that to you. Maybe it's evangelizing a friend or a family member that doesn't know Jesus. Risking it. But is it really a risk? If we truly believe that eternity's destiny of what you do with Jesus really matters, then is it really a risk to tell somebody how they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin? But I can promise you, if you're going to step out in faith and not deny your own relationship with Jesus and share it, you may lose something. Is he worth it? Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" You want a comeback? You love your Lord and Savior and you're struggling and you want to come back? Count the cost. It's going to cost you something. But here's the question. What are you willing to lose so that you might gain a closer walk with Jesus? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Then follow him. By the way, what a comeback for Peter. Can I just read to you what happened in Peter's life as he walked through these comebacks? He stopped comparing himself. Now, was Peter perfect? Heck no, read Galatians. He gets in trouble again. But there's a comeback here. In Acts chapter 2, just follow along with me. I know it's a longer passage, but just, I love a comeback story. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice, addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what is uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above all the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified him, killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held for it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was so glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul. What a sermon, by the way. This is the first Billy Graham crusade before Billy Graham. For you will not be abandoned my soul to Hades and let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted on the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord is my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ this Jesus that you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter with the rest of the apostles, brothers, what do we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many words he bore witness and continued to exhort, speak to the heart. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who receive the word, by the way, great verse for those who believe, what the Bible says is that you get saved, then you're baptized. So those who received the word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Thanks for bearing with me on that great passage, but what a comeback. What a comeback. So let me ask you, are you in need of a comeback? As we conclude, look through that list again. Do you find yourself comparing yourselves with other Christians? Have you found yourself bragging and boasting, but you know deep down you struggle and you're weak? Have you got off mission because you think you've fallen too far and who would listen to you? Have you thought the cost is too much? You don't want to lose a friend. You don't want to lose a coworker. You don't want to say no to your sin. Are you in need of a comeback? The good news is that those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we put our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. His death, burial, and resurrection is what gives us hope. then we can get a comeback. But there are some of you here, you don't need a comeback. You need a spiritual awakening. You're dead in your sin, and you need to be made alive in Christ. The Bible makes it very clear, you cannot earn your salvation. So you must put your faith and trust in Christ's work alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent means to turn to Christ. Tell him that you have sinned and fallen short and that you need his forgiveness. And he will come into your life, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, he will seal you until the day in which you will spend eternity in heaven at your death. And then for the rest of us, again, as we walk through this walk, there will be times when we will struggle and we will fall, and be reminded of this passage that Jesus wants you to come back and serve him. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the reminder that those of us who know you, our job isn't done. There isn't a sin too bad that Jesus, you haven't forgiven. Help remind the follower of Christ here this morning that there are makings of a comeback in each one of us. That we can give public testimony, like Peter, of how good our God is, how great our Savior is. Jesus, do a great work in the lives that call you Lord and Savior. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, let's stand and sing a final song.